Hey love, and welcome to the Love Niche Podcast. I'm your host Niche. It is a billion podcasts to listen to, and the universe guided you right here to this one. It's been a long time. Welcome back to the Love Niche Podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about reparations. I'm going to get emotional because I am Cherokee and I am of African descent. And this is just something that has just touched me since I was a little girl. So the feelings that I've had have just grown over the years with the more and more that I learn. So I am very thankful for where I am in my life. I am pursuing my dream of realty, which is not easy. It is expensive, but it is very rewarding. They say the best thing in life aren't free, but I say the best thing in life is helping others. It really, truly is. I secured my first rental, and I actually put on a piece of paper that I want to help a family buy. I wanted to help a family sell, and I wanted to help a family rent. And so I'll be able to put a check mark next to the rent. You know, you start out small and you grow. And I'm just so very thankful that you would think I'm selling a house, but I really am thankful. Shout out to my cousin because she referred two people to me and I'm working with them now. I'm waiting to hear back from the other client tomorrow. And let me just tell you, realtors, they work hard. If you did not know, you don't write a realtor a check. A realtor does work, and once the work is done, meaning once you get your keys, whether you're renting, buying, selling, or leasing, they get a check at the table. So that could be the closing table, or that could be from the rental office. So it really is a service that you should hire someone for, because most of the things in life, like you go to the store, you're checking out with cash, you're checking out with card. This is a service in which the work is done and you are not paid until the work is done. And then you aren't reaching in your pocket to pay per se. It's handled all within the transaction. So why not? If you think about it, when you just sign, let's say you fill out an application for a job, you may get a yes or no. But if you actually sit down with a manager, they get a feel for you. You know what I mean? They may say, yeah, I'm going to hire her. Although if I just would have looked at the paper, I would have went to the next person. That's kind of how it is when you have a realtor. So you may put in an application and maybe a no, but you have this realtor going to bat for you. Like, you know, this is going to be a great client. My tenant's ready to go. Da-da. Like, they're really going to bat for you on your behalf to secure those keys. So thank you for my client for believing in me and allowing me to assist you. Thank you for my cousin for the referral. Thank you God for allowing me to enter into my dream career. I also have a full-time job in the morning and it's actually not bad. So I'm very, very thankful for that. It almost seems to be too good to be true. So I'm a little nervous. I am thankful for the people in my life. I have a really, really small circle. I love each and every one of them. I really, really do. I'm thankful for all of the conscious conversations that I can have. For the longest, I have felt crazy, but now I can have these conversations with everyone around me, including my parents. And that is just so awesome on their own, you know, level. I can talk about fruits and vegetables and growing plants and herbs, and everyone doesn't think I'm this crazy lady. Sometimes I feel like I'm from the future and I came behind and I'm just waiting for everyone to catch up. I remember I will be promoting things and, you know, it would take a while for people to catch up. I was mentioning OnlyFans and Patreon, you know, like why not get paid for your content, people? It doesn't have to be sexual, but get paid for your content. Now Instagram is offering subscriptions and everybody signed up for them. It's like, I just be shaking my head because it's like, three is my life path number. I'd be on things 3 years ahead. So now I see in the rental community, rent to own is the future. These corporations are buying up these homes brand new and they're only for rent. No option to buy. My cousin literally was looking at a property and I asked if we could buy it and they said, no, it's not for sale. This company was going to buy it cash. You mean to tell me you're turning down cash deals? Oh, they're thinking long term, baby. They want that residual income. they don't want you to buy. They don't want a 15, 30-year mortgage term. They want you for life. Also, there are investors now. There are people that have stacked their money and they're buying homes too. One of the properties that I looked at with another client, they had two homes and a brand new subdivision. And they can make their own rules, guys. They only wanted people with 600 plus credit score. So it's like, you know, a lot of different people are starting to be in charge. And if you don't have your credit and your finances in order, what does the future look like? I also want to say beware, because what I see is storage places popping up like crazy. On Beach Boulevard, there was a huge building where Kmart was. Kmart had a really big building. It's nothing but storage. Explain that, y'all. Who said they're going to need to put their stuff in storage and why? I went downtown. I saw another storage place, and everywhere I look, I'm talking brand new storage places, not the old, not the ones that's outside with concrete, y'all. These are inside, two-story, AC-controlled storage places. Who is putting stuff in storage like that? What are they anticipating? That people are going to be moving in together or losing their homes and putting their stuff in storage? It's like, I'd be ahead, y'all. Like, you don't just say, when you start a business, you have to think of the numbers. What is this storage place? What kind of revenue is this storage place going to renovate? Because if it's not profitable, we're not going to do it. The fact that they bought that big ass Kmart building, what did they see, you guys? What did they see? So I think you guys are going to enjoy this podcast where we talk about reparations. So I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. And then congratulations to my brother and sister, because we just welcomed baby True into the world. I'm not going to call him True, though. I don't like it. I said it. I don't like it. He has a middle name, and I think I'll just call him his middle name. I think Truth was more masculine than True. Like, y'all know I'm a Kardashian fan, and Khloe named her daughter True. So, I don't know. So I hope he grows into his name, and kids can be so mean. I hope he's not picked on or anything from that, but I'll call him his middle name. We have nicknames around here, but congratulations to them. Is there anything else going on? Oh, my client gets her keys tomorrow. I got her a basket. I can't wait to go drop it all. She wants the place to be a little bit more clean, so I want to go in on cleaning with her. And just helping people move is really, it's near and dear to my heart, because I remember moving around a lot. I always live with people, just always bouncing around, and stability is just so important. I'm in the process of getting my own home now, so congratulations to me. I'm so happy about that. And it reminds me of the root chakra, like your foundation. So that's so interesting that, my career is with the root chakra, the foundations, and I want to look into land and tiny homes and stuff. So this is only the beginning, y'all, but enjoy the podcast.
And that they inflict on us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We just don't.
Just let them do it. Absolutely. And get away with it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
my
yeah.
thing is, even like with reparations, like we were slaves, right? And they're like, oh, we're going to give you guys reparations, 3 acres and a mule, or 40 acres and a yeah. mule. We still ain't got that shit. You got a mule?
No.
Nobody in my family got a mule. Kinda your family got a mule?
I ain't got no acres.
I ain't got acres neither.
That's crazy.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we haven't even held them accountable for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. A problem, but that's on crazy. Us. That's yeah. not on them. That's yeah. on us. Yeah. Of course, they're not going to do it. They're not going to be like, you guys should hold us accountable yeah. more.
And like you said, with the Kyrie stuff and even back to the Kanye stuff that we haven't gotten to depth about, us holding them accountable if they are wrong, but still having their back and standing up for them.
It's a covering thing that we yeah. do not do for each other.
Yeah.
We do it in the wrong, I feel like we do it in the wrong way. Like, we don't cover each other in the and hold each other accountable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seeing that made you feel anything. Like, yeah. what was it? What were you in search of?
Yeah, because I don't know nothing about it.
It doesn't even matter what it's about. It, yeah. The fact is that his reasoning from what he eventually said was, you know, what it seemed like is, I'm just trying to find out my call. I'm trying to learn who, where I come from. And we live in a society, in a world, and especially in this country, where we're not taught where we come from.
And we're not doing the research. And what we are taught is lies.
Or it's in history, the negative side.
Yeah,
we're taught about our slavery. We're taught about our oppression. We're taught about our about segregation. We're taught about all.
We're not taught about the kings.
But we're
the
not
queens,
taught that we're
the
kings and queens and where we really come from and
the
our
dynasties
bloodline.
That came before us.
Yeah, we don't. We're not taught that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then now there's like this whole movement of trying to take certain things out of school systems as far as slavery and trying to take truth.
Yeah.
In real history out of the textbooks because it makes our country look bad.
Yeah.
Well, goddamn it. Like, what do you mean?
One of our friends was very like, yeah, I don't want that to be in the textbook because y'all can tell us what y'all think about this. I was like, yeah, that should be in the textbooks. It's our history.
Because
like,
it's the truth.
Because it's the truth. Mm-hmm. But she was like, well, if they're going to put that truth in the history books, they need to put the black queens,
absolutely,
the black kings, the
I
black dynasty. I agree with that too.
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? So put that in there. Don't take that history out. Be like, yes, y'all went through this, but where y'all came from, like,
this is what y'all came from. This is what we put you through. And you take that information and do what you want with
it.
Try to get back to that.
Yep. So I don't think it should be out. But we had that conversation with one of our homegirls, and she was like, no, I don't want my daughter, the first thing she sees is black people were slaves and white people are better. Mm-hmm. I don't want that implanted in her
mind.
You
want to know what's so crazy though? Because I talk to my mom about this all the time. My mom is, it matters about, we can't change the school system overnight. We can't change the country overnight. But what you can do, what we can do is take accountability and responsibility for ourselves and educate ourselves, educate our children, and hopefully allow that to spread. And if we see somebody that is in search of finding out who we are and where we come from,
support them on that journey.
On
it's
that
okay
journey.
To explore that. Yeah. It's
Why
okay
are
to explore
older black
that?
Men on ESPN
wow.
calling this man an idiot?
Wow.
That bothers me.
Yeah.
Go talk to him.
Yeah.
Ask. Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah.
You got the answers?
Yeah. Do you have the facts? Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's
why
okay
are you
to support somebody on that journey. It's okay to explore. It's okay to explore.
Because we're not taught it.
Yeah.
So we have to go search it out on our
own.
Yeah. And I just think that that's messed up as black men. I hate seeing black men do that to other black men.
Especially publicly.
Absolutely. Because then it shows, it just keeps sowing that seed of division in our community, and it doesn't allow us to show this united front that we really should have. We should be coming together and being like, no, y'all not going now. And then once the Nets organization, which is who he plays for, the Brooklyn Nets.
I keep hearing people talking about reparations again. And realistically, it doesn't make any fucking sense. The concept is that you're going to get reparations from the government. Okay, the government doesn't have any money. The government takes its money from regular working class people. Meanwhile, the corporations who actually profited from slavery, who are so big, are going to be the only ones that are getting the money that they give to people for reparations, because there is no overarching black economic infrastructure to pour this reparations money into. So you're going to take money from regular working class Americans and give it right back to the fucking companies that profited from slavery in the first place. Are you really thinking about this? Sure, you might have some extra cool stuff, but ethically speaking, are you thinking about this? Did a corporate underwriter write this? Hey, remember when we made all that money from slavery? Check it out. We can still make money from slavery today. It's called reparations. This is how we're going to sell it.
So I want to comment on that. Joe Biden proposed loan repayments of up to $10,000 or $20,000. 10 for regular loans, another 10 if you have Pell Grants. I have both, so 20 for me. And he wasn't going to send me a check. He was going to send it to the lender. So the only objection I have to what she said was, why would my money need to go to anyone else other than me? So that would be a direct payment. That wouldn't go to anyone else. That would go to me. Now, when I spend it, of course, it could go back to them. But hopefully, we would use that large amount of money for investment. So it's kind of going to be like the lottery. Some people that win the lottery, they're back at square one as if they never got the money to begin with. Some people that win the lottery, they hire financial advisors. They learn how to put their money into stocks, into property, into land. They diversify their portfolio and they let their money work for them. So, you know, you can't tell people what to do when you give it to them. But those that are thinking long-term, generational, they'll say, you know, hey, this may be like a one-time thing. Let me make the most of this. Let me not squander this. And hopefully they'll, you know, decide to do the right thing with it. But when she was saying it's going to go back to them, maybe some, but for the most part, I think a lot of my generation, we know about starting businesses, and that will be the finances that we need to push our businesses to the next level. So maybe Uncle Sam will get, you know, different portions of that as far as taxes are concerned if we don't have someone that can try to write most of it off for us. But nah, I think we'll know it. I think we're a pretty smart generation. I really do. I think we care about our mental health. We know that money isn't everything, and we know that you can let your money work for you. You don't have to work hard. You just need to put that money to work. So, yeah, that was my opinion on what she had to say. So this is from Essence.com. The title of the article is called California Releases Groundbreaking Slavery Reparations Report. It states the initial report, which runs nearly 600 pages, details the moral and legal wrongs inflicted on their own black citizens by the American and Californian governments. I have got to get my hands on that. 600 pages. California's the first in the nation. Reparations Task Force has released a report that details how slavery has impacted nearly every aspect of black life in America and recommends ways that the state should address black communities that have been harmed by systematic discrimination. That could mean holding police accountable, expanding voter registration, improving black neighborhoods, putting a stop to bank and mortgage related discrimination, and free tuition, USA Today reported. Now, I am in the housing industry and I just left IRS. And when I tell you, segregation is financial, like it's so sad. Well, let me continue. The 500 plus page report chronicles the harms against the African-American community, stating that the transatlantic slave trade, the institution of the U.S. chattel slavery, emancipation, and the broken promises of reconstruction, the genocidal Jim Crow, to the contemporary harms. The task force chair, Camilla Moore, told Essence via email, "It is the most extensive government-issued report on the African-American community since the Kerner Commission's in 1968, she said. The report is the first at the state level and comes amid increased national discussion on reparations as well as local and municipal actions. H.R. 40 legislation that will establish a national commission to study reparations and explains the U.S. government involvement in slavery and systematic discrimination passed the House Judicial Committee last year, but since stalled. According to the Associated Press, the 589 report lays out how Black California residents may qualify for financial restitution. The state plans to create an office that will work with African Americans who are descendants of free or enslaved Black people who were in the U.S. in the 19th century. The office will help those members of the Black communities record their eligibility for reparations. I hope that this report is used not only as an educational tool, but as an organizational tool for people not only in California, but across the U.S. to educate their communities, Moore said. In March, reparations advocates stated that all Black people should receive restitution. I agree. However, the 9-member task force voted to restrict reparations specifically to descendants. The task force vice chair, Dr. Amos C. Brown, said, "Other groups that have suffered exclusion, oppression, and downright destruction of human existence have received reparations, and we should know less. A comprehensive reparations plan will be due to lawmakers next year." Now, do y'all remember when all the CEOs stepped down from trillionaire, gazillionaire, octillionaire, decillionaire, making businesses? Do you think they hit them with these lawsuits long before it hit the press? Do you think they know how much they're going to pay and how it's going to damper their finances? Like, I still to this day, and what made them CEOs step down? I think this was it, y'all. This was it. And it's not going to be just California. Because just think, if California has to pay those descendants $250,000, times that by all the states and all the descendants, I don't know if their money will be able to recoup such a loss. Especially some other states need to step up, because right now it's just California. But they all need to file at the same time. But let me keep going.
What if they gave us reparations but told us we had to leave the country?
Specifically speaking about African Americans, leave, start over in the place that your ancestors came from. Take the money and build your home with us. Bring every non-white person with you and watch that country become a pile of fairy dust and imagination. Watch it become an illusion. Watch it disintegrate into nothingness. What is white supremacy when it has nothing to try to be superior to? Watch them become redundant.
So the question he asked was, what if they give reparations and then they ask African Americans to leave? Here's what I'm thinking that they are possibly thinking. What if we give these people reparation and then they leave? Because really, when you think about it, they've given other groups reparation, right? But they've not given African Americans. I mean, if they wanted to, it shouldn't and wouldn't take this long. It's freaking 2022. What the hell are they freaking waiting for? What, the angels to blow the trumpet, signifying that the world has ended before they pay reparations? And if that's the reason, that's some very demonic from the pit of hell. I'm convinced at this point that we are dealing with people that the devil take tips from. Like, you cannot convince me otherwise. And it's sinister, because that would mean these people are thinking, well, if we give these people this money, that means they have money to up and leave and go start a life somewhere else. Because we all know that you just can't up and leave a country, right? You have to be well prepared to leave a country. You have to have enough money to get there, get a house, you know, start a business and be able to survive. You can't live on zero accounts. It could be that their fear really is the possibility of African Americans leaving. Like he said, fairy dust. I've come to this conclusion really watching the Europeans and how they do not let go of things that benefit their economy. If you look at how they've been holding so tightly to stolen artifacts and how they profit off these artifacts, not wanting to return on them because they profit off of them, it really gives an idea. It really gets me to that point where I'm thinking this is the same thing, the same ideology that they are working with and not wanting to give reparation because, you know, African Americans might leave. Look at how France held on to 14 countries. Even after their independence, France forced them to pay taxes to France. Insane, right? Mali recently just broke out. I'm so happy. And it wasn't easy for them to break out. They fought tooth and nail trying to make sure that it wouldn't be possible. But Mali left, right? So you can see how these people would not let go of things that are benefiting them. Even if it's at the detriment of those things they are holding on to, they do not care. They think about their interest and their interest alone. I just saw this video and I thought I should quickly react to it and share my thoughts. So I want to know what you guys think.
So I used to work for the IRS, and when I left, they had announced that the House approved a billion increase in the IRS budget. We used to get little emails from the union, and this was one of them. NTEU supports funding legislation approved in the House of Representatives that would add more than $1 billion in funding for the fiscal year 2023 over the current level. This is a critical boost to help the agency begin to rebuild after more than a decade of budget cuts. The money would go to improving and expanding taxpayer services and taxpayer compliance. The spending bill includes a much-needed increase of business systems, monetizations, to continue upgrading aging IT systems to help address the current backlog of tax returns and correspondence. The bill continues language provided the IRS will direct higher authority for positions to process backlog tax returns and return information. As the Senate continues work on appropriations, the NET will push for a funding bill that matches or exceeds the House bill. Fast forward, so they approved that bill, and I remember telling my manager, I was there for 6 years, these systems are old as hell. I can't believe, you know, this is my government. You know, Google and Apple are surpassing them. Grocery stores at this point have self-checkout machines. They're surpassing them. And you won't believe that this is a powerful government. I just feel like it was pathetic. Like, where is the money going? So I will always tell her, and she would be like, they can't make changes like that. It's, you know, they can't make changes like that. It will be hard for them to change across the board. It will be hard for them to change. You know how many changes they will have to make. I even sent a proposal up, because sometimes when you submit ideas, they would pay you. I sent a proposal up. One lady, she act like she didn't know what I was saying. When I tell you, you have to tell them how much it would save. You have to do all of this shit before they even approve it. I just simply gave them one number because I knew they owed me more. I said, you guys are mailing letters. I found an article and it said that they spend $1 billion on letters that people throw away. So I just used that figure alone, because my ideas are priceless, by the way. And the man sent back, oh, we're working on it. It's different stages and we're already underway. I bet anything to not pay, right? I think my manager actually took my idea and ended up getting a check, but that's why I don't be worrying about what people do, because at the end of the day, when your intentions are pure, whatever is due to you will come. It may not come how you want it, but it will come. But I always have ideas. If you know me, I've probably given you ideas. I've probably told you need to write a book, you need to do this, you know. That's just the gift that God has given me. I thought I was supposed to be a cheerleader for a football team. No, I'm a cheerleader in life. I just can give ideas. I plant seeds, water them, encourage people, be happy for people. I'm just like a happy person. And I just cheer people on. It just comes natural to me. Strangers, people I don't know. If y'all look at my social media and see I be talking to Slutty Vegan, a whole bunch of singers and rappers, and they be responding like I know these people, or they PR team or whatever. But I'll just tell anybody, whatever gift I see, oh, baby, that's a book right there. Oh, you need to be on the news. Oh, the ideas just come. But anyways, I'd rather get my payback or reward from God, because this man's system, it don't be worth it anyway. So I just thought that was mighty funny that they can come up. I said all that to say they can come up with funding for outdated systems, or to send to Ukraine for a war, or to send a spacecraft into space, and we ain't heard no freaking updates all this time they've been going up there to send missiles in the sea. Like, what exactly are you shooting at? Like, the point is, this money is going everywhere out of nowhere. You could come up with $20,000 to pay off people's student loans. You can come up with stimulus. I mean, the list goes on. You can come up with money to build a wall that didn't even complete. The point is, money is not an issue. They can snap their fingers and print it. So why have they not paid reparations? Period. Because they will go bankrupt. Do you know how many of us they will owe? All of these companies will crumble. Do you know 3/5 bank is 3/5 of a slave? I will never open up an account with them. But there's a lot of companies that have bloody hands. Your company is funded on blood. No thank you. And it's a lot of them that may have changed names, and who knows. But anyways, this is going to be a really great podcast. Keep listening. So there was an NPR article about the Pope. So it says the Pope's apology in Canada was historic, but for some Indigenous people, not enough. Now, my people are originally from Sumter, Georgia, I think, in the Carolinas, as far back as we can trace it. My grandmother have confirmed that we have Cherokee. In my heart of hearts, I know I am Native. When I look at my nose and I look at a lot of Native, Black people usually have flat, wide noses, but I definitely have a point, like most of the Natives. I also have a red tone, skin tone. When I look at my granddad, it looks like he was white, Black, perhaps Native, but grandmother definitely confirmed that we have Cherokee in our family. We have traced our ancestry all the way back to you know where, freaking England. So on my healing journey, I wanted to give homage to my Native and African side because I am both of them, and I sprinkle ancient Egyptian in there as well just because I resonate with it. But let me go ahead with this article. Years after the Canadian government-funded commission issued findings detailing a history of physical and sexual abuse of Indigenous children, sick. But nobody wants to talk about this. Physical and sexual abuse of Indigenous children. What is wrong with people? You just skip over the grown people and mess with little kids. It's disgusting. In this country's Catholic-run residential schools, Pope Francis on Monday issued an apology on Canadian soil. I am sorry, the Pope said, speaking in Mashawicks, Alberta, at the land of four Cree nations. I humbly beg forgiveness for the evil committed by so many Christians. Ugh. Oh my God, that faith. Oh my God. By so many Christians, that could be a whole nother podcast, by so many Christians against the Indigenous people. Francis said near the site of the former Remington Indian Residential School, where ground penetrated radar had been used to try to locate unmarked graves of students who died while attending the school. Thousands of children died at the schools, but the true number may never be known. Oh, they know. I feel like they were doing ritual sacrifice. Sacrifices have not stopped. They're not done publicly because people are not standing for that, but they're done privately. I think a lot of this Illuminati and elite, secret, it's secrets because the stuff that they do is insane. It's demonic. And if people really knew what was going on, they would put a stop to it. Like, these people is real deal summoning demons and making deals with the devil for their riches and fames and who knows whatever else and selling their soul. Like, no thank you. But we think it's a game and they put it on Hollywood and they put it in the movies and we just think it's fiction. No, it's really, really real. It's real. And I ain't trying to stay to find out. Okay, so they know the number. They know the number. The residential schools forcibly separated Indigenous children from their parents. Does that sound familiar? I just want to pause for a moment. I don't want to be racist, but did not Mexican people, did not Spanish people get separated from their kids and put in FEMA camps? And we haven't heard anything else about that, have we? Did they unite those kids with their parents? But everybody in the world had COVID, but only that race was separated from their family. Explain. Everybody caught COVID. Everybody by now has had COVID. And some died and some didn't. But the point is, they took them kids away from them. And we haven't heard anything since. Matter of fact, it's an article going around that kids have not been accounted for. How do you just lose children? They didn't lose them. Again, a whole nother podcast. They did not lose them. Okay, so the residential schools forcibly separated Indigenous children from their parents as part of an effort to convert them to Christianity and assimilate them into the wilder Canadian culture. In total, 1,500 children from the Canadian First Nations tribes were placed in 139 schools run under government contract, most by the Catholic Church, over a 150-year period. A 215 Truth and Reconciliation Commission report prompted by the Halloween Tales of Survivors concluded that children were abused physically and sexually and died in the schools in numbers they died in schools in numbers that would not have been tolerated in any school system anywhere in the country. The schools were designed not to educate. That's how these schools are now. Please educate your kids. I am so proud of my sisters. They are homeschooling their kids. They are working. They are, you know, dealing with marital issues with their spouse and still growing and everything. And they still are homeschooling their kids. I really love that. And my best friend. It's not easy. It's not easy. But one thing I will say, you get to keep all your material. So your house will start to look like a school. And why don't they get to do that at regular school? They keep the books. They recycle them. You don't, you know, about the most they've ever gave now is the darn laptops because of COVID. It took COVID to get them kids laptops. That means they had the money, y'all. It's just, they just don't be doing what they need to do with it. But anyways, so these systems don't really educate you. You have to educate yourself. The schools were designed, and I say that because my mom has a whole garden. We're learning about herbs and stuff. We're learning about healing ourselves. COVID caught us off guard. Well, best believe, not we done passed year 2 and 3. Now we get sniffles and stuff, we know what to do. Like, if anything, COVID made us warriors. It brought up the heal. It brought back the healers in us. It brought back our ancestral roots that God gave us these herbs to heal us. And we aren't scared. Like, what else they gonna make up? We ain't gonna do nothing but find another herb or, you know, dig deep into our resources and find a cure. So I'm, you know, sad about how it happened, but it did. COVID did exactly what it was supposed to do. It definitely did what it was supposed to do. So let me see. The report included that the establishment and operation of the schools can best be described as a cultural genocide. Officially, 4,120 children died while in the care of the schools. That's a lie. That's a complete lie. Mostly from diseases. You see how they want to sprinkle this line there? Diseases such as tuberculosis that ran rampant. Well, maybe if you didn't snatch these kids from their environment, which was probably sunny, full of sunshine, and send them somewhere cold, their immune system don't know what to do. They're away from it. They sad, depressed. You violating and raping them, and then you want to blame it on tuberculosis? I hate how they write it. They write history how they want it to be, where their hands are clean. No. Y'all killed these kids, and it's y'all. The kids wouldn't have died from no tuberculosis if y'all wouldn't have separated them from their parents. Let's just leave it at that. According to government statistics, but estimates range considerably higher, the commission in its report acknowledgement that the true number is not likely ever to be known in full. I told you. And they do know. I'm not going to sit up there and believe that. You know how many bricks is on the pyramid? You can estimate how many people died from slavery. You have all these other numbers. But when we really need a number, you just don't know. Like, whatever. Last year, the unmarked graves of 250 children were found on land once occupied by the Kamloops Indian Residential School. At one time, it was the largest residential school in Canada with 500 students enrolled in the 1950s. The Pope's apology is historic, but there is still frustration with the church. I'm not a part of any church. I feel like they all have blood on their hands. And no, I could go to Jesus by myself. I don't need a church to get me to God. Like, no. Because the way it's looking, churches are very demonic. I hope people are careful that they're not worshiping Satan and don't even know it. A member of the indigenous community helps display the memorial banner, which was the first national public record of the names of the children who died, not returned from home, from the residential schools across Canada. So you mean tell me these families remember their family members. So if they can write down their names, they know the number. They're just embarrassed to account. Let me just scroll back up. 150,000 children, if that was the number, a lot more kids died. They're going to narrow that down to just 4,000. BS. My soul says BS. Let me see here. Earlier this year, Francis expressed shame and sorrow for the Catholic Church. All of them. I don't want to be a part of none of the religions. Absolutely not. Abuse and for the lack of respect shown for the indigenous cultures and their values. It's a step in the right direction, says Congress of the Aboriginal Peoples National Chief Elmer St. Pierre of the Pope's apology on Monday. But it could have been better, he says. When you sing the song, it should be coming from your heart, says St. Pierre, who was present in Moscow when Francis spoke. Francis' statement was read off of a script. He says, I know that's right. That's how you know it's not come from the heart. And he ain't crying nothing. He's just doing what he's politically supposed to do because the truth is coming up. We all know how to read. We're researching like crazy. They didn't think Google and the internet would expose their ass. And so now they're trying to save face. Absolutely not. I'm glad I'm not a part of that race because their history is disgusting. They didn't do anything but go around causing war, stealing land, and killing people. That's a horrible history. I would be ashamed of my ancestors if that's how we came to power. That is so sad. That's running in your blood today. That's sad. Okay, so Canada has paid billions of dollars to Indigenous community as a part of a settlement with some 9,000 survivors of the residential schools. Canada's Catholic Church says its dioceses and religious orders have already paid $50 million to tribes and expect another $30 million in the coming year. So my question is, why have the Indigenous people received reparations? $50 million and $30 million in the coming years, which means they're going to continue to pay. So again, everyone else in the world has been compensated except for us. What? It's such a mind fuck. Okay, so let me keep going. Carol McBride, president of the National Women's Association of Canada, said she hoped the post-apology would start a dialogue between the church and the First Nations that would lead to release of school records. Why do they have to ask for school records to be released? If that was my child went there, show me them records. You see what I mean? Again, sneaky, sneaky, secret, secret, all that top secret stuff. I don't trust any of it. You up to no good and you up there freaking hiding it, talking about some damn clearance. Anyways, will lead to the release of school records and the return of tribal artifacts. Oh, wow. You mean to tell me they get their artifacts returned and our mummies and stuff is still in goddamn museums and the bones can't rest peacefully? Just disgusting. This place disgusts me. I will not be returning. I just can't understand why they don't want to release these files. Oh, yes, you do. You know why. And the same that goes with the artifact, because that true number will be revealed. Those are our First Nations and Indigenous people artifacts. Why are they sitting there at the Vatican? I'm glad somebody said it. Why are they not here? The Vatican is under so many levels underground, y'all. And it has all the artifacts from around the world. Do you know Mary is black and the child is black and they worship the black? Go research the Black Mary. So they were out here painting a white picture for us. Why they worshiping the true Mary. Oh, okay. And see, some people just so used to what they know, they don't want to research because they don't want to know the truth because they've been knowing something for so long, they probably just can't handle it. And I'm just the opposite. It may freak me out. It may scare me. It may whatever, but tell me. Don't keep feeding me the BS because it has never made sense. And I'm just so happy that more stuff is surfacing to learn. Like, you can literally Google anything. Back then, if you had permission to go to the library, if you had money to buy books, if you, you know who, you know, if you knew somebody that could get your stuff published in the paper, da-da, now you could write a whole thing and just publish it right now with nobody's approval, which is kind of scary, but it still allows the truth to be out. Before, when it came to the print and press, they had safeguards. Stuff was not getting out unless it had approval. So now more stuff is getting out and they can't even stop it if they wanted to. But yeah, the Vatican, man, they have everything. Everybody else's history but their own. So my question is, I don't think they come from here, whoever they may be, because you don't even have a history. You don't even have a foundation, but you stealing everybody else's artifacts and harboring everybody else's history. Like, who are you? Where did you come from? You know, why are you mimicking other people's history? It's not yours. Where did you originate from? It's giving alien to me. And I will keep saying that. Okay, so let's see. So here's another article. This is by Essence. The Tulsa race massacre, descendants can't sue for reparations, the judge says. Judge Carol Wall dismissed six descendants and multiple organizations from a lawsuit. while the three last known survivors of the 1921 massacre can continue seeking reparations. Six descendants of the victims of the 1921 Tulsa race massacre cannot sue for reparations, an Oklahoma judge said, while three known survivors of the attack can move forward a lawsuit. I wouldn't be surprised if they killed them three before they get their darn lawsuit. Tulsa County District Judge Caroline Wall signed the order on Tuesday allowing Leslie Benningfield, let's say their names, a mother, Randall 106, Biola, mother, Fletcher 107, and Hughes Van Ellis Sr. 101 to continue. Look what God did for them. 101, 106, 107. Why are our people dying so young? I'm 35. My parents are in their 50s. Why are our parents dying yet these people are 101, 106, and 107? Explain. We're not even reaching our full life expectancy. The Bible promised us 100 plus years. They weren't eating. I bet in their 100 years, their food changed drastically. They was eating more fruits and vegetables grown from the garden. Less microwave, less chemicals, less everything. So that gave their body a longer fighting chance. These babies come out eating shit right out the damn microwave. Anyways, in addition to the six descendants, Wall dismissed the historic Vernon AME Church Incorporated and the Tulsa African American and the Tulsa African Ancestral Society as plaintiffs in the case, as well as the Tulsa Development Authority and the Tulsa Metropolitan Area Planning Commission as defendants because they didn't exist in 1921. Now, we just heard that descendants of slavery in California could receive reparations. So why can't descendants in Tulsa receive reparations? Something in the milk ain't clean. A descendant is a descendant. A crime is a crime. A payment needs to be paid. And if the people died before y'all decided to pay them, why not give it to their descendants? Make it make sense. Make it. The City Tulsa County Commissioners, Oklahoma Military Department will remain as defendants in a lawsuit. Bottom line is that the survivors are in. We have the opportunity to prove the massacre itself constitutes a nuisance. DeMario Solomon Simmons, a lawyer of survivors, told AP News, "We look forward to proving our case around the massacre's ongoing catastrophic events and demonstrating that the actions that defendants must take to repair and rebuild the Greenwood community during our client's lifetime." Solomon Simon said during a news conference that he has spoken with individuals who dismissed from the case, adding that they were saddened by the dismissal but still very excited that the survivors are moving forward with the lawsuit and can represent the entire community of Greenwood. Wall's orders requires lawyers from both sides to amend the claim of reparations, which sought unspecified punitive damages and called for the creation of a hospital in North Tulsa, a Tulsa massacre victim compensation fund, and mental health and education programs. That is great. Now let's move back to California. Not only do they need to pay the reparations, but I like that. Mental health and education program. And to be specific, let it be a fund for education, because I still wouldn't put my kid in none of these schools. If my kid wants to go to college, it's because it will be because they want to. But I'm going to be an HBCU. My kids are going to learn so much about history from me. I'm going to give them the damn degree, okay? The Tulsa race massacre occurred in 1921 when a mob of white people attacked black residents and destroyed businesses and homes in the then prosperous Greenwood district of Tulsa, Oklahoma, also known as Black Wall Street. An estimate 300 people were killed. That's a lie. I hate how they lie. 300 people were killed, most of whom were black, and about 10,000 black people were left unhoused and forced to live in an internment camp. I believe 10,000 people died and 300 lived in camps. They lie so much. According to the Associated Press, insurance companies and the city of Tulsa never compensated victims and survivors for their losses. You know what? Yes, they did. I'm pretty sure they did. I'm pretty sure they got paid for everybody that died. That's kind of how the system works. The government gets a check when you're born. Your social security number is an account number, and you get a check when you die. Companies have life insurance on you too. So everybody's getting paid whether you live or die. Hopefully you're making the best out of what you get when you're alive, because everybody else is being compensated. That's what they really don't want people to know. The massacre, which was considered one of the worst incidents of racial violence in American history, resulted. That was not it. That's a lie. Tulsa was not the only. Brother Reza Islam wrote a book, A Message to the Millennials. Please pick it up and read it. Matter of fact, I've done a podcast on it, and I went through and I was talking about this as well. I only knew about Tulsa. I'm 35 years old and I only knew about Tulsa, Oklahoma. Do you know there were plenty of cities where African Americans were governors and rulers, banks, teachers? We did it all. We were self-sufficient, smart, brilliant. We didn't need them. Do you know today they are under a lot of lakes? They are under lakes. They flooded them. You can dive and see the cities. And again, nobody gets reparations. It's such an ugly history, and nobody wants to talk about it. Now they want to take the truth out of the history books because you're embarrassed, because people can see you for who you are. The massacre, which is considered one of the worst incidents of racial history, though the whole history is despicable, if you ask me, resulted in racial and economic disparities that still exist today. And they do, the lawsuit asserts. The lawsuit also claims that in the years following the massacre, city and councils allegedly actively throttled the community's effort to rebuild. Yes, they did, and neglected the Greenwood and predominantly Black North Tulsa community in favor of overwhelmingly white parts of Tulsa. They do that today. It's called redlining. Look it up. If you put your zip code on a credit card for application, and if it's in a good area, maybe you will be approved. If you put a zip code that is in a bad area, they don't even need to know your race. Your zip code told them everything that they need to know. Denied. So racism still exists today. It's still financial racism, redline racism, and a whole bunch of other stuff we may not even know about. Let's see. The massacre received renowned attention in 22 when former President Donald Trump chose Tulsa as a location for one of his campaign rallies amid the country's racial reckoning and nationwide uprising.
I didn't know that.
However, Trump rescheduled his June rally to avoid coinciding with Juneteenth celebration that was taking place in the city Greenwoods district. That was a smart play. So I'm going to say I'm going to come there, right? But I'm going to schedule it around Juneteenth. So then I'm going to say I'm not going to come because I don't want to interrupt Juneteenth. Man. For the first time in over 100 years, the last three living survivors, isn't that sad? The last three living survivors of Tulsa Race Massacre will finally have an opportunity to hold accountable the institutions that instigated and facilitated one of the worst acts of domestic terrorism in the country's history. Michael Schwartz, another attorney for the survivors, said to AP News, adding that the lawsuit provides an opportunity for a better understanding. So let me pose a question. We know very well that these are the three victims of the massacre, and they're in their hundreds. But the very people that killed, murdered, and tortured them could still be alive in nursing homes as well, right? But they're not being put on trial, and they're not being punished, and they're not being put in jail. This is why I don't trust this government system, and it can basically kiss the whole crack, because no one really gets justice. So they have to go after corporations when it was the citizens that were doing that to them. But they get to live into their old age jail-free. When you have someone who may want to help their mother pay a bill, sell weed for Pete's sake, and they're in jail. And so everyone wants to demonize them. Oh my gosh, they just want to smoke weed all day. Not knowing that cancer patients are saying, hey, I was able to cure myself from cancer. So you want to judge someone because you don't want to pick up a book and you don't want to research. I don't need someone to tell me that something is bad when God made it. If you truly believe in God, then you should know that if it's growing from the goddamn ground, you know, not synthetic or HGMO, all that stuff, that God made it and it's good. Did not God say he made everything and that it was good? So you're going to let man come and tell you that something is bad? But it's okay for you to use that anesthesia when your ass gets surgery. Oh, you don't demonize that, do you? When you have a headache, you don't demonize none of that stuff. They're all plants. They put it in a lab and they synthesize it so they could charge you. So you're not growing it in your backyard for free. But anyway, so the government says, oh, weed is great now. Everybody goes and gets cars and shit. Like, it's just crazy. This whole planet is insane to me. I don't need someone to tell me what's good or bad. The hell? If you don't know, if you need someone else to direct you, they will always rule you. They'll tell you the sky's purple and you're going to start believing it. It's just sad. It's really sad. I don't need a human to tell me that a plant is okay now that it's being taxed and cards are being passed out. If I happen to smoke it or drink it or eat it and I don't feel depressed, God darn it, that's what it does. If I happen to take it and I'm cured for cancer, that's what it does. I don't need people behind me rallying to confirm what I just said. Hello? I don't know. They have just whipped us into shape so much. It's like, you don't even need to whip them anymore. They're just going to do whatever you tell them to do and say whatever you need to say. The damage has been done. But this next generation, baby, oh, we're going to raise all kind of sand and hell. We're going to burn it all down. Okay, so let's see. I got a couple more articles. Okay, so this one was really sad. So, Emmett Till. I couldn't even look at the movie because I know that's going to take me to a place. It's going to take me to a place. So the grand jury will not. This is Essence again. Essence been coming with. Thank you, Essence. Y'all been coming with articles because people get killed for talking about stuff like this. And it had to be on Essence because it ain't on Channel 4. It ain't on CNN. It ain't on other broadcasts because they run it. It had to be one of our news, you know, outlet, which happens to be Essence. So anyway, the grand jury will not indict women whose accusations led to the murder of Emmett Till. That saddened my whole soul. The grand jury said that there was not enough evidence to indict Carolyn Bryant in the brutal death Till, who was abducted. That wasn't enough. Killed. That wasn't enough. And thrown in a river nearly 70 years ago. That wasn't enough. And I'm going to tell you what my heart say. They raped that little boy. Ain't no telling what all they made him do. They probably all had a turn and everything. Probably put the dogs on him. I wouldn't be surprised. Alligators and snakes and whatever else. See, they don't tell all of it, but you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. Okay, so a Mississippi grand jury will not indict the white woman who accused 14-year-old Emmett Till of making advances toward her nearly 7 years ago. I hope she burns in hell. See, me, forgiveness is like, yeah. But I'd rather watch you burn in hell. It's just kind of how I'm set up. The allegations led to the brutal murder of the black teenagers. And I never forget. I never forget. Period. And you know what's so interesting? Sometimes when people go to jail, I be like, oh, you know, let them out and let them get another go at life. But my sister posed a great question. If you let a murderer go and he murders again, you know, why the hell did you let him go? If you let a rapist go and they rape somebody again, why would you let them go? Okay. So that's the same instance here. You're a liar. You got this little boy killed and ain't no telling what else you're lying about. That's just kind of how your culture is set up. You lie to benefit yourself. Now, I ain't no telling. Somebody probably was threatening her. Probably threatening her mom, dad, and everything else. She probably did what she had to do. But the point is, you have blood on your hands. And I hope she rots in hell. I really do. Everybody that was connected to it. And to be honest, even though she was the one that lied, what if the people that did that to him are still alive today? Now, we just read about the Tulsa victims that were in their hundreds. 101, 106, 107. I'm pretty sure the ones that did that to Timmy are still alive. why do we not really get justice? So we're coming after this lady that lied, but no one is trying to go after the ones that actually did it to him. Really? Well, all this scientific research equipment technology that we have today, really? Oh my God. I wouldn't be surprised if it'd be high up people like judges and stuff, knowing you got murder on your hands. But anyways, she lied. What gets me is she lied. And they want to say it wasn't enough evidence to indict her. But you lied. When you admitted that you lied, is that not enough to indict you? You mean to tell me that when slavery was at its peak, you couldn't look at a white woman, whistle at her? I don't know how it was for the women and the men, but I'm pretty sure it was a no-go on that side too. So back then, that lie was so big, it caused his murder. But it's not enough evidence for her to... And even if she were to go to jail, like I said, she's not the one that literally did it. Her lie caused it. But just like she needs to rot and go to jail, she need to point... Okay, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Who did it? What were their names? What were their ancestors' names? Let's see if we can find the family members. Let's see if they heard stories. I'm pretty sure they were sitting around campfires talking about the shit. It's just like, come on. Come on. Come on. If the Native Americans can remember the children that were sent away to boarding schools over, what did she say, 300 years ago? I'm pretty sure someone remembers who was in that circle, who tortured and beat and raped and molested, I'm sure, Emmett Till. But the only name that we can come up with is her. So she's getting all this heat when it could be spread out evenly. It's, oh my God. I'm not finna play with them. I feel like we don't serve the same God. I feel like we don't have the same heart. We're probably not even the same species. Because even today, after everything that they've done, we literally could go burn down everything. We really, really could. It really could be, what was that movie where they turn on the sirens and everybody's just going on a killing spree? It literally can be that. Well, all of the anger, hatred, sadness, grief, we still got our ancestors' blood running through us. They still live within us. That's what DNA is. You never die. You continue to live on and on and on through the bloodline. Unless they wipe the bloodline on, you're still freaking here. So, all in all, like, it's just like, come on. I just feel so sad. Emmett Till, the moment she admitted she lied, that should have been it. Okay, so let me pose another question. If you know how they have you in an interrogation room and they ask you, you know, come on, man, we got so-and-so in the other room. He already admitted. We just need to admit you and then we all could go home. And the moment you admit it, that means guilty, right? I just don't understand why hers is the same exact thing. She admitted she lied, but they want to say there's not enough evidence. What? But on these TV shows, they show the person in the room with the camera. I did it, and that's enough evidence. Okay, so let me go to the next one. Lord have mercy on Emmett and his family and all our ancestors. Like, I feel so remorseful. Oh, and today I saw a video of this man in the gym. I'm pretty sure y'all saw it. This man was, his workout regimen was unreal. This man is jumping and bouncing and all the guys have stopped working out at this point and they're looking at him. Jealous, evil, envious. You should go YouTube, guy in gym extreme workout. If we eat what we're supposed to eat, get the sunshine like we're supposed to get, we are literally, we are just like plants And there's one difference. If you look up the DNA of plant and the DNA of human and put it side by side, it's literally one difference. So if plant mama have a whole garden, I don't forget, if plants can do wonders with sunlight, what do you think we could do? But they have us in these houses. Now we're working from home. We work in office buildings. When do we get sunshine? When we go to the beach? You know, it's like we're missing that nutrients. And then they want to tell us milk. No, milk is filling your body with pus. And that's why people are dying, because cancer is literally mucus. But nobody wants to talk about that. And it's like, get in the sun, drink you some alkaline water. Like, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I will forever say that. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's so sad. It literally, like, if Jesus were to come back today, he would be like, what? I'm out. Because they don't need help. Like, help is all around. They just don't want to accept it. I don't know. I feel bad. It's like we stepped backwards. At one point in time, we couldn't read. We were at a disadvantage, but we still excelled. And it's like, now we can read, but we've regressed so much. I don't understand. So anyways, I'm going to go to the next one. So this next one comes from Wikipedia. It's Reparations for Slavery. Reparations for Slavery is the application of the concept of reparations to victims of slavery and or their descendants. There are concepts for reparations in legal philosophy and reparations in transactional justice. Reparations can take numerous forms, including affirmative action, individual monetary payments, settlements, scholarships, waiving of fees, systematic initiatives to offset injustices, land-based compensation related to independence, apologies and acknowledgments of the injustices, token measures such as naming a building after someone or the removal of monuments and renaming of streets that honor slave owners and defenders of slavery. There are instances of reparations for slavery relating to the Atlantic slave trade, dating back to at least 1783 in North America, with a growing list of modern-day examples of reparations for slavery in the United States in 2020, as the call for reparations in the U.S. has been bolstered by protesters around police brutality and other cases of systematic racism in the U.S. Recently in the U.S., the calls for reparations for racism have been made alongside calls for reparations or slavery. So there's two forms of reparations, racism and slavery. Despite many calls for reparation, examples of international reparations for slavery consist of recognitions of the injustice of slavery and apologies for involvement, but no material compensation. Now, I just explained how the Pope apologized and compensated in the billions, right? If you look at any race that had been enslaved or been prosecuted unjustly because of their race or along any of those lines, they receive apologies, they have land, they have holidays, and they receive reparations. We just got Juneteenth and they just took lynching out of the law as a punishment. I honestly feel like, I don't know, this system wasn't made for me. And my honest feelings are, I am on the lands of my ancestors. I am being forced to abide by the rules of foreigners, of slave masters, basically. And they never left. They're still here and they're still running the system. And I saw someone make a post and it was saying, I feel offended paying taxes on land that was stolen from my ancestors. And I feel that. I hope you felt the energy in that sentence. Let me say it again. I feel offended by paying taxes on land that was stolen from my ancestors. Really? Can we talk about it? 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 Nobody wants to talk about it. Let Let me keep going. United States. Slavery ended in the United States in 1865 with the end of the American Civil War and a ratification of the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which declared that neither slavery nor involvement in voluntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime, which is the jail system, y'all. Did you hear that? Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime. That's jail, y'all. Therefore, the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to the jurisdiction at that time. An estimated 4 million African Americans were set free. Within the political sphere, a bill demanding slavery reparation had been proposed at the national level to the commissions to study reparation proposals for African American Act, which former Rep. John Conyers Jr. reintroduced to the United States Congress every year from 1989 until his resignation in 2017. This man fought from 1989 to 2017. As its name suggests, the bill recommended the creation of a commission to study the impact of slavery on the social, political, and economic life of our nation. However, there are cities and institutions which have instilled their own reparations in the U.S. In 1999, African-American lawyer and activist Randall Robinson founded the Trans-African Advocacy Organization, wrote that America's history of race riots, lynching, and institutional discrimination have resulted in $1.4 trillion in losses to African Americans. Economics Robert Bowles stated that the ultimate goal of reparations should be to restore the black communities to economic positions it would have it had not been subject to slavery and discrimination. He estimates that a fair reparation value between $1.4 and $4.7 trillion, or roughly $1,420 equivalent to $162,000 in 2021, for every black American living today. Other estimates range from $5.7 to $14.2 and $17 trillion. In 2014, American journalist Ta-Nehisi Coates published an article, The Case for Reparations, which discussed the continued effects of slavery and Jim Crow laws and made renewal demands for reparations. Coates makes reference to Rep. John Conyers Jr. affirmation H.R. 40 bill, pointing out the Congress' failure to pass the bill expressed a lack of willingness to right their past or wrongs. I'm going to say that two more times because three is my life path number. Congress' failure to pass this bill expressed a lack of willingness to right their past wrongs. If you are wrong, you apologize. If you are wrong, you right your wrong. If you don't give a crap about your wrong, you look the other way. You don't care. You don't give it. I'm going to say it one more time. Congress' failure to pass the bill expresses a lack of willingness to right their past wrongs. I'm going to wager, if they right their wrongs, like my mother has mentioned, all of these companies would crumble. Because we wouldn't just be suing one company. There would be a lawsuit for them all. And I feel like that's why them CEOs stepped down. Like, something is brewing behind the scenes. Because you just don't leave money like that on the table. Now, those are legacy builders. They're worrying about generation 10, 15 years down the line. They're stacking that money, growing it, investing it. And to just stop it from coming in, no. That's just not how they roll. So let me see. The topic of reparations gained renewed attention in 2020 at the Black Lives Matter movement, named reparations as one of the policy's goals in the United States. In 2020, Reparati supported reparations that would give every African American $1 million and an asserted 100,000 million, yep, that's what he said, a million, and asserted that slavery caused mass incarcerations, poverty, and ills. So I want to add to that. I want to release people from jail. I think that they should still check in with, like, what do you call those people? Their POs, parole officers. I think they should get counseling. And, you know, maybe some type of monitoring. Maybe not the rapists or the murderers. But just the ones that was selling as a way to provide for their family, drugs, narcotics. This is another thing, too. The drugs on the street is exactly the same drugs that is behind the counter. The difference between the two is Uncle Sam gets a cut from the ones that are behind the counter. The ones that are on the street does not get a cut. So you're going to go to jail because what? You don't have a license to sell, right? Why do we have to get permission from them to do anything? It's almost like we fell into their trap. We didn't need a license to ride a horse, now did we? But because we want a car, we have to registration, all this stuff to abide by their rule. It's a system. I'm going to get me a house and a horse, okay? The Mormons, we may laugh at them, but they're onto something. They may have to pay for their taxes on their land, but that's about it. Everything else is theirs. They build their houses. They grow their food. They basically, like, leave us the heck alone, and we need to get back to that. But then again, I propose another question. Every time we build, we end up under the water. They want to bomb, burn it down, and then no one goes to jail for it. So it's almost like, do you continue to build and they're going to tear the shit back down? But everywhere else is still standing. Nobody's bombing the Mormons or tearing them down. So I wonder, are they paying Uncle Sam to leave them alone? You know, the government really is the mob, really, if you think about it. So let's see. What else is on here? Opposition to slavery reparation is reflected in the general population. In a study conducted by the Yale government in 2014, only 37% of Americans believe that slaves should have been provided compensation in the form of cash after being freed. Furthermore, only 15% believe that descendants of slaves should receive cash payments. The findings indicated a clear divide between Black and white Americans on the issue. Of course, no one needs to pose that question. That was a dumb question. The study summarized their findings, noting only 6% of white Americans support cash payment to descendants of slaves, compared to 59% of Black Americans. Similarly, only 19% of whites and 60% of Blacks support special education and job training programs for the descendants of slaves. In 2014, in response to Ta-Nehisi Coates' article, The Case of Reparations, conservative journalist Kevin D. Williamson published an article titled The Case Against Reparation. In it, Williamson argues the people to whom reparations are owed are long dead. That is insulting. I would never say that. So the Indians on the reservations, y'all don't need the reservations. Your ancestors are dead. The Holocaust victims, y'all don't need a holiday. Y'all don't need reparations. The Jews been dead. That's so insensitive to say. That is the most insensitive thing anyone can say. Wow. Flabbergasted. So this last one comes from the NAACP.org. I know it's, what do you call them people? Moles. It's moles everywhere, so I wouldn't be surprised if they right in the middle of that. They were saying the people that assassinated Martin Luther King and Malcolm X was right in his and they crew, and that's usually how it be, because we see it, like, the government has kind of showed us their hand, like, on TV when they do those drug raids, they'll have somebody dress up like they into drugs and stuff, and get real close to people, and have mics on them, and record and stuff, and next thing you know, they go into court, and they done broke bread with this person, all this other stuff, they know all their secrets, and come find out it's a mole, so... We already know moles go undercover, have new ID cards, identity, and everything, and you'll never know. So, I just want to touch a few bases on here. So, reparations, NAACP. African Americans have been enslaved in the United States from 1619 to 1865, and people of African descent have been murdered, brutalized, made victims of genocide, sexually assaulted, and economically oppressed based on race in the United States from 1619 through the Civil Rights Movement. Evidence of this systematic racism is still present today. The United States government must atone for the actions. The United States government must atone for the actions in the name of the United States government against Black people in the United States. I want to bring forth Britain as well. So let's see. There is a legal precedent for reparations and numerous prior recommendations for reparations. The policy of 40 acres and a mule was Union General William T. Sherman's Special Field Order No. 15, issued January 16, 1865, provided for the massive land redistribution. Actually was the result of a discussion that Sherman, the Secretary of War, and 20 leaders of the black community. Section 1 of the order states the island from Charleston, South Carolina, the abandoned rice fields along the rivers for 30 miles back from the sea, and the county bordering the St. Johns River, Florida. Oh, okay. That's where I'm at. Are reserved and set apart for the settlement of the Negroes. Oh, baby, this is ours. Now made free, the acts of war and proclamations of the President of the United States. Section 2 specifies that these new communities, moreover, will be governed entirely by black people themselves. On the islands and in the settlements hereafter to be established, no white person whatever, unless military officers and soldiers detailed for duty, will be permitted to reside, and the sole and exclusive management of affairs will be left to free people themselves. We do have military bases here, y'all. I'm just saying. By the laws of war and orders of the President of the United States, the Negroes is free and must be dealt with as such. Finally, Section 3 specifies the allocation of land. A family shall have a plot of no more than 40 acres of tillable ground, and when it borders on some water canal, with not more than 80 feet waterfront, in possession of which land the military authorities will afford them protection until such time as they can protect themselves, or until Congress shall regulate their title. You know what? 400 acres of land on the coastline of Charleston, South Carolina, St. Johns River in Florida, including Georgia, Sea Island, and mainland, 30 miles in the coast, were redistributed to the newly free slave. President Andrew Johnson overturned the order in the fall of 18. How do you overturn something? What? How do you overturn stuff? So if we can easily overturn stuff, let's let everybody go from jail that was selling weed, since we can quickly overturn things. Returned the land along the South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida coastline to the planters who had originally owned it. So here we have, I would give homage to, who was this? Union General William T. Sherman. I have respect for him. Because then look who's going to come behind him. Andrew Johnson. Can you smell the racism? Okay. To the people who originally owned it. That makes no sense. How do you give something to someone and take it back? So since that's how we doing, how about you give this land back to the natives? Yeah, you could take something and return it, since you know very well how to do that. This is crazy. It's like the more I learn about my history, I'm just disgusted to even be born. That's kind of how I feel. This is so disgusting. I did not want to be here in this mess. And then everybody want to throw around God and Jesus. And I don't see it. I don't see it with these homeless people. I don't see it with these kids being molested. I don't see it anywhere. I don't think God resides here. I really feel like this is hell. And I don't know how I got here. This really feels like hell. It's like untouchable. Like God himself ain't intervening. It's really sad. Okay, so let me just scroll down. So the last part is the first order of the national of the NAACP should support reparations for black people in the United States. We need a race-centered economic empowerment package for African American that builds economic wealth and accounts not only for slavery, but the decades upon decades of economic pillaging. Color Lines, a publication run by Race Forward, report that the U.S. government spends billions subsidizing farming in America. Yet black farmers today receive only 1/3 to 1/6 of that. And the Southern Rural Development Initiative found that less than 1% of agriculture subsidy payments between 2001 and 2003 went to the blacks, Native American, and Asian Americans. Worse, inequality has only grown since the Great Depression. wiped out any gains that black people made in the post-civil rights era. Today, without intervention, it would take an African-American household 228 years to build the same amount of wealth as our white counterparts. I did not know the numbers, y'all, but I knew when I was looking at them tax returns, pathetic. Most of us was making less than $25,000. I don't know how a family is surviving off of that. Some that were more well-to-do were in the 50s, but on the other side of the fence, six figure, business, EIN, nonprofit, no taxes to be paid. It was just disgusting. And so someone finally gave me the numbers. Let me read that again. It would take an African-American household 228 years to build the same amount of wealth as our white counterparts. How many generations is that? About three, if you can make it to 100. So that third generation, if the first two do right. Oh my gosh. Okay, so second, in determining what form reparations should take, the United States government should be required to atone in the following way. Reparations would involve an apology, rights to the cannabis industry, financial payment, social service benefits, and land grants to every descendant of enslaved African American and black person. A descendant of those living in the United States, including during America's slavery into the Jim Crow era. Because slavery involved kidnapping, barbarism, and the stripping of language, culture, and heritage, many black people are unaware of the specific African heritage and which country, in fact, their ancestors were stolen from. Oh, we know. Don't worry. We freaking know. We're from here. And I think they wanted to say we're from Africa. Oh, no. We're from here. We're right here. Because that will make you want to do what? Go back to Africa. No, y'all get the hell on, because this is supposed to be our land. Okay, a land grant of 40 acres. Each family of three or more individual parents and children shall be granted 40 acres of tillable land. No taxes to be paid on the property for 5 years. I say ever. Don't ever tax me for my own land. You pay tax. How about that? Social services due to the disparity of the life expectancy that the descendants of the enslaved people should be eligible early for. Anyways, I would say, I wonder what, if someone that lived through slavery were alive right now, I want to hear from their very mouth what would be good reparations. I want to hear from the woman who was forced to sleep with her slave master and bear children, and they may kill them if they did not let them survive. What would she want for reparations? I want to hear from the people, and we stay in Florida, so we see these oak trees. I want to hear from the people that were hung. What would be good reparations? Okay, I want to hear from the natives. What would be good reparations? You know, from all the unmasked graves that they didn't even have the decency to keep up the grave sites. You just see the gravestones and weeds growing everywhere. But you got a mountain full of presidents that weren't the first presidents, by the way. The first five presidents were black and they don't talk about them. Okay. And you have all the military places looking nice and, oh, just, this has got to be far from heaven. Let's just say that. This planet is far from heaven, honey. But I would like to hear from them. What would they want reparations to be for their ancestors? For their descendants. Because I am their descendants. I would want to know what they would want from me. I would. So what do you think reparations would be? What are your thoughts or opinions or views on that? I'm going to try to tag team my sisters, my best friend, my cousin in again, see if they want to drop another recording. I really feel like they would go bankrupt if they really paid us justly. So we know they're not going to do that. I think the best thing we can do, though, is just continue to educate ourselves and not rely on them. When you rely, the person that you rely on the most has control and power. You have to learn to take that power back so that you can control yourself. I know that every time we build up, they try to tear it down. So that kind of annoys me. But, you know, maybe we can rebuild it again better than before. in my honest opinion, if I was in charge, I would tell them to leave. I would give the land back to the original descendants. And, you know, I wouldn't care what happens to them or any of that, because for so long they didn't care about us. And they'll figure it out and they'll be okay. But if you can say, I'm going to give somebody 40 acres and a mule and literally give it to them, and then the next person is in charge and gives it back to the slave owners, which means you took it back, we should be able to do that same thing today. So, okay, y'all done made it United States, but let's reverse all of that and give it back to the true natives, because we've seen in history that they can do that. So why not do it again? I'm just saying. So that's just my little opinion. That's just my little tease. It will be interesting to hear your thoughts, opinions, and views. I'll probably have to split this into maybe 1, 2, or 3 podcasts. But yes, I am a Native American and an African. And ever since I was a little girl, I kid you not, we didn't have cable like that, so we used to look at Channel 7, and they would always show some slavery-ass shit. I would always see somebody getting hung or beat. I went to school with white people, and this is when Spice Girls was out, and I began to notice, like, okay, it was only one black girl, and then we went to a school where it wasn't that many black people, that we were sprinkled in there, and I just started to notice the differences. I didn't really notice the difference till I went to Southside and Inglewood, where it was all different cultures, and I felt like, oh my gosh, it's more of me. But for so long, I just thought that was the norm, like, you know, a school full of kids and a few black, you know, all the black kids, because it's not many of y'all. So it's not really a hatred, because I didn't have a hatred for them, but I do have a hatred for the history. I have a hatred of how no one wants to apologize or make it right. That's where my hatred is. Like, your history is so disgusting and sad, you don't even want to admit it. No one has stepped up and apologized yet. It will be so honorable for people to just start flooding the internet with apology videos. Like, oh my gosh, I'm American, I'm European, I'm British, and this is what my ancestors did. I'm disgusted. I apologize. You know, what can we do to make this right? I don't raise my kids like that. We don't even hear it. It's just hushed across all society, and they're just enjoying the wealth of it. I almost feel like they feel like if they apologize, the wealth will go away. But racism still exists today. I don't care what anyone say. Don't let them fool you. I saw tax returns with my own eyes. Nobody can ever take that away from me. I even showed my parents, so I have proof. No one can ever take that away from me. The middle class pays taxes, and they also pay for the lower class. The high class does not pay taxes, you guys. They do not. Some of them are honest, and they do. But they make so much. Was that, if you have $100, what's a dollar? Yeah, you paid it, but you have 99 more. So it's usually like that, in an instance like that. But for us, like me, for the last 3 years, I had to pay $3,000 in taxes. You know what I could do with that? It's just like the higher my income went, the more taxes I had to pay. And the money was not adding up. And then I would get to work and look at all these returns where they're making billions and trillions and not paying. I'm like, wait a minute. So you make more than me and you don't pay, and I make less than you and I do? Like, this is not common math. Like, where they do that at? And now I know anybody could start a business. Anybody can put business finances on there. Anybody can start a nonprofit, which is your own nonprofit. So you're funneling the money back to yourself. It's like, oh, okay. Okay, and then we would do taxes on our own. They would have accountants, honey. They wouldn't even call in. Tax preparers calling in. And guess what? The tax preparer is going to look out for them, because they get a fat check from it. So why not? Why not get you $30,000 back, because I'm going to get, you know, 10 or whatever. Like, that's benefiting them. So I'm thankful for every journey that I went on in life. I learned about credit repair. It's a freaky game. Learn the rules. I learned about taxes. It's a game. Learn the rules. I got my foot in the door with nonprofit. That's another game. Having your own business. That's another game. It's literally rules that were not made for us, or rules that we don't understand. And that's okay. Just hire someone that does and enjoy the benefits, because that's what everybody else is doing. It's just like, really? Are you kidding me? So We may not get our reparations this lifetime, but from what I've been learning, everything is ours. The world is ours. Everything came from us. We are royalty. We are gods ourselves. So maybe that's why they hate us so much, because everything is already ours. So they have to steal what's not theirs. And you know, this reminds me of, in the Bible, weren't there two brothers that were always at odds? One was hairy and one wasn't, and he stole the birthright. Is that not what we're dealing with? Our birthright was stolen. Like, is that not the present? Is that not a present story that was a past story? You get what I'm saying? So I will catch you guys on the next podcast. Bye. To keep learning and evolving and spreading love. But child, Earth is ghetto. I'm trying to make this my last reincarnation here. So namaste, levaste, always a vibe. Hi, babe. Thanks a million for listening. I hope you have a better than great day. I love you. Talk to you later. Mwah.